Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with the coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Not 1 second. Not 1 second. You say, what are you talking about? I didn't watch 1 second of the Super Bowl. Not 1 second. First time in history, I'd made up my mind. I wasn't going to watch it. I didn't care about it. I didn't care about Miley Cyrus's crack, if you know what I'm talking about. Didn't watch not 1 second of the Super Bowl. But I have to say this, just because I follow sports and understand sports, that's probably one of the most amazing things ever in the history of sports is what Tom Brady did this year. I never really liked Tom Brady. I mean, I liked him. He's from Michigan. So as an Ohio State guy, he didn't like Tom Brady. He played for Michigan, right? Do you guys know that he's 43 years old? 43 years old. And during the offseason, he left the team that he had played with for 20 years. They farmed him out, basically, you know. New England was done with him. They didn't want him anymore. They farmed him out. He went to Tampa Bay. And everybody thought, oh, boy, what's he doing? Tom, stay with the Patriots. Don't do that. Don't go to Tampa Bay. He went down to Tampa Bay. Patriots sucked. Didn't even make the playoffs. And Tom Brady, at 43 years old, fighting against the whole COVID. See, when you come together and you get to a new football team, you got to learn to got to meet your players. You got to get a relationship with your players. You have to study the playbook. You have to learn, you know, the nuances of the guys that you're playing around. And a 43-year-old man to change teams and go to a team that had not been really, really successful and win. What was this? His seventh Super Bowl. I'm telling you, it's one of the most unbelievable accomplishments. Could it be because his wife's a witch? Huh? You know that, don't you? Yet Giselle, whatever, it's Brady, but it's not Giselle, that supermodel. She does white magic. She does white magic over Tom Brady. Man, oh man, make you wonder. Makes you wonder. Hey, Michelle, I have a studio audience. My wife's sitting over here, studio audience. We're in Oskaloosa, Iowa. It's colder than, you know what it is. You know what it means to be cold. And Michelle and I are the two up this morning down here in the basement. Got a lot to share with you today. I just got to throw this up here real quick. My all-time favorite ever movie ever was Cool Hand Luke. There are just so many absolute great lines. Calling it your job don't make it right. Well, look, that's probably the greatest line ever uttered in a movie, from my standpoint. When one of the prison guards tries to, Luke's in the hole, which is just a box. They put him in a box. They put the bucket in for Luke to be able to do his business in. And as he lays it down there, the guard says, just doing my job, boss. Or Luke, just doing my job, Luke. And Luke says, calling it your job, don't make it right. Wow. is that ever it? Is that what, by the way, is that where most of us hide? I said, just doing my job. The Bible says for you to know to do good and for you not to do it, to you it is sin. And that was Luke Paul Newman from Cleveland, Ohio. Paul Newman's way of saying, you know better. You know better. You can't hide behind the fact somebody told you to do it. That's what the Nuremberg trials were all about. So as I came on the air, just before we came on the air today, it was Shell Spencer or somebody said, hey, coach, we're out of Facebook jail. We're out of Facebook. We're back up on all. I said, no. Really? Like I cared, first of all. Like I cared. But I said, oh, all right. So do me a favor, I said real quick. Spencer, I'm going to send you this link. Play it. So here's another great line. Some Cool Hand Luke. Go ahead and play that for me real quick there, Spence.
Sounded good.
Get in line, facing the captain.
Luke has just tried to escape prison. So they're putting leg shackles on him. Trying to get his mind right.
You're going to get used to wearing them chains after a while, Luke. But you never stop listening to them clinking. Because they're going to remind you of what I've been saying. For your own good.
Wish you'd stop being so good to me, Captain.
Don't you ever talk that way to me. Never! Never! What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach. So you get what we had here last week, which is the way he wants it. Well, he gets it. And I don't like it any more than you, man.
That's me and Zuckerberg. What we have here is a failure to communicate. Yeah. Are you with me, folks? So we're out of Facebook jail. I think we're back on YouTube. Are we back on YouTube too, Spencer? No. We're still working to get my mind right on YouTube. So we're not there yet. We're not there yet. I just want Mark Zuckerberg to know I ain't got my mind right. I ain't got it right, Mark. I'm sorry. I feel more of it coming on me. Come on in there, Clay. What do you want to say?
I just gonna say, Coach, that's my favorite movie of all time, too.
Ever.
And I'm thinking that maybe that's what's wrong with me. Maybe I watched that when I was too young and got pre-programmed.
I ain't got my mind right. I don't care if it rains or freezes, long as I got my plastic Jesus riding on the dashboard of my car. If you guys haven't seen Cool Hand Luke, you gotta watch Cool Hand Luke. It's an older man, but I'm with you, Clay. Hey, Myra, how you doing today?
Great. I'm just grateful to begin each day and seeing the saints. We're definitely different than other places because I've been looking around, and I'm so grateful to be part of the huddle. Thank you so much.
Sweetheart, we're so grateful to have you. Michelle and I are in Oskaloosa with Denny Bryan. We need to pray for Denny. God bless Denny Bryan. He told me last night, they told him 2 years ago he had 3 months. And he has lung issues on oxygen. And now he went to the doctor and they told him he's on the down. He got maybe 6 months. And then he doesn't even listen to it. He just keeps pushing on, keeps organizing the huddles. And we had a great huddle last night. And you know what was one of the things that was really, really great? One of my heroes showed up last night. It's kind of funny for us to have heroes. I'm sorry, I'm looking at my computer here real quick. Don't mean to distract you. Jamie Walden showed up. Jamie and Paul showed up last night, and boy, there's a real man on Jamie Walden. There's a real man. I'm going to try to get him on because he's been visited by the FBI more than once because of what happened in Washington, D.C., and there's a man on that boy. God. And, you know, somebody said to me, was it yesterday, this weekend, because, you know, I run into a lot of new faces this weekend, and somebody said, Coach, who are you passing the mantle to? I'm 68 years old. Who are you passing the mantle to? I said, man, I don't know. Larry. No, I'm just kidding, Larry. We have to begin to raise up younger guys, don't we? We have to. Got to raise them up. It's one of the things we haven't done a very good job of. The generational passing of our heritage, of who we are. What it's about. We haven't done a good job with it. And God's bringing along a new group. Thank God they are. And so it's a real honor to see Jamie and let him speak a little bit last night. And Paul came along with him. And I'm going somewhere this morning, okay? Well, a little bit of housekeeping. I didn't watch the Super Bowl. Did you guys know Miley, what's her name, Michelle? Miley Cyrus Did you know that her daddy's Billy Ray Cyrus? You guys remember country western star Billy Ray Cyrus? You know Miley Cyrus was Hannah Montana on Disney? Did you know Disney's wicked? Did you know Disney turned Hannah Montana into Miley Cyrus? Tattoos all over, waving her butt for everybody to see. I didn't watch it. I could assume. Hell, I don't need to turn on the Super Bowl. I can just go to the porn channel. Watch the same stuff. And you guys know what we tried to do last year with a halftime show. That's in a whole other story. Hey, listen. We're going to Kentucky this weekend. Bobby Lee's organized a huddle down in Kentucky. There's a huddle in Oklahoma. Randy's having one on Sunday afternoon. Chad's having one. Do any one of you guys want to pipe in here and tell it? If you guys are any place near any of these, come and join us, man. Come and join us. And I'm curious, Naomi and Tim, did anybody show up? Naomi and Tim, how did it go for you down there? Folks, listen, we have to begin to build these huddles. It's a message I brought last night to this group here that in Iowa that Denny's been putting together. We got to make it happen. How'd it go, Naomi?
So we were expecting 10, including Tim and I, and then a snowstorm decided to hit right at that time. So we ended up having 4 other people, so 6 total. But one person drove 2.5 hours to get there. And then on the return home, it was more like 4 hours because of the snowstorm. But we had a really great time.
Really good time.
Awesome. It's a good start, isn't it?
Well, yes, exactly. Good start.
Remember, the Bible says not to despise the days of small beginnings, right? I tell the story that Chad Estes will tell you. Our Salt and Light Brigade in Texas, at the first one, it was me and Chad and his wife, and we invited Rusty Thomas to come and speak, and Rusty came. There were 4 of us, and we held it anyway, and we preached. And when we walked out the door, Glenn and Corinne were waiting out in their car. They came late. And we started that Texas Salt and Light Brigade with 5 of us. So,
wow.
Yeah, despise not the days of small beginning.
Right, and we're planning stuff. And I wish that everybody would pray for the restaurant owner that she's totally on board with us, but her husband is dealing with severe PTSD. Mm. He would be on board with us too, but because of the PTSD, he just won't get involved.
Amen. I won't say it. Randy, what you got going? You got it going on Sunday, Randy? Anybody in that Oklahoma area wants to come up and visit with you guys? Is that what it is?
Yeah, Coach, Sunday afternoon, 2 to whenever. We usually go pretty late. But, yeah, everybody's welcome. We'll probably eat and fellowship and Bible study, pray. Yeah. We'll do it all. But it's powerful, Coach. I'm telling you, everybody leaves. Just they don't want to leave. Because
amen, brother. Randy, I wish I could divert my car down there. I really, really do. And then we have the one, is Bobby in here, the one going on in Kentucky this weekend? This is amazing, isn't it, really?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, we got Lee Watts showing up from his ministry. He's a Christian activist there. So we're all going to meet him. Coach is going to meet him. But maybe we can put our heads together on how to develop some more strategies to bring down that communist governor network there in Kentucky. And there's somebody else showing up on Sunday, I think, that was brought to my attention. I just can't remember who it is. So there's going to be some good stuff going on. We're going to have boots on the ground, a honk and wave out there in the area, bringing some awareness to some people. And whatever else happens Saturday with good fellowship, that's where we – that's
amen. Amen. It's going to be good. Michelle and I are going to be there. And boy, you know, it's really great because we couldn't travel there for a while. We could have, right? But nobody was – come out wherever you are. Nobody wanted to do anything. Now there's life again, and we're excited about it. And so last night, I think I covered – oh, one more thing. Hey, please sign up on the email list. Please go to CoachDaveLive.com and sign up. Give us your name and your address and your location so we can connect you to a team. Would you do that? Some of you have done really – we got like – over 100, 150 in the last, since I started pushing a little bit more, 100, 150 more signups. So please just, we won't bother you. We won't beg for money. We won't do any of that stuff. But we have a lot of people who are interested in getting these groups up and running, and they'll email us and they say, do you know anybody in Oklahoma? And so we want to make sure we say, yeah, here, here's some folks in Oklahoma. Now, we don't give your email just to anybody, but you know, if we got somebody in Oklahoma, we're going to connect you to Randy, and Randy will follow up, or Chad's in Texas, or got just great stuff going on all over the place. Okay, with me. Listen, before I get diving in, because I'm going to dive in hard here today. I'm not in a bad mood, but you know me, I'm a truth teller. I'm going to tell the truth. And somebody asked me something last night, and I'm going to answer it. But I'm not going to answer it till I see if we're all clear over here. Anybody want to raise their hand? Anything over the weekend? Anything that I've missed? Anything we need to cover? I got plenty of stuff to cover, but I got to bore in on something here. Anybody for the good of the group? I don't see any hands up on my computer, but that doesn't mean that some of you don't have something on your heart. I got Tom Dunn's cup through the black. Okay, I'm going to bore in then. No hand. Well, Clay just put his hand up. Go ahead, Clay. And Clay, I'll get back to you, man. When I'm on the road, I don't always get to check my, I read him. I don't always get a chance to read him and respond to him. So if you guys send me an email when I'm on the road, just bear with me. I'll get back to you. Okay. Do my best. Go ahead, Clay.
That's all right, Bill.
Okay.
Yeah. I just want to tell you, how they're acting like the people that went to DC on January 6th, that we shouldn't even went to the rally. I mean, this is ridiculous, folks. So, I don't know. I'm thinking maybe we ought to be like I Am Spartacus, and everybody in the country that voted for Trump just say, yes, I was in D.C. on January 6th.
Yeah. Well, they know I was. By the way, I think I'm allowed to be on it. Michelle, we allowed to go to D.C.? Yeah. Well, she shook her head. Yeah, we're allowed to go. What's this all about, right? It's all part of a psyop, and I'm going to get to it. But let me jump in here with both feet today, okay? Because here's a question last night. I thought I got up. I've been up in about an hour and a half. And when I sat down on that couch over there, which you can't see, right over there is a couch here at Denny's place. First thing came to my mind, I said, Lord, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And that little small, still voice wouldn't leave me alone. So I'm going to do it. And anyway, somebody asked me last night, after I was done speaking, Coach, why are we having such a hard time getting organized? Now, I knew the answer. I knew it right away. But I thought, do I really want to say it? Do I really want to? So I decided I would. Said it last night. And one, bring it to your attention here this morning. Two things. We have a team, but we don't have great leaders in our team. We have these guys who call themselves pastors. And I was struck by the fact, again, last night in Oskaloosa, Iowa, where the governor's pushing, they're pushing back a little bit here in Iowa. The mask mandate was lifted here in Iowa. People were beginning to push back a little bit. I ran into an associate last night of former Representative Steve King. You guys probably maybe remember that name enough from Iowa. He was really, really a good guy. And I found out even more last night, even a deeper good guy than we understand. And I tried to get people to understand. Morning, people to understand. We already got a team. We already got a team. It's called the church. Now, some of the players on the team maybe aren't real committed, but they're on the team. And I noticed again last night, after all the work that Denny and Marcy and everybody did, and Helena, after they all did all their work to try to bring this event together, which we had probably 35 people there, again, can somebody explain to me, not one pastor, not one. Where are these guys? Where are they? We have players and no coaches. Or we have coaches, but they're not playing together. They won't even get in a huddle together. They won't even huddle up. Guys in their own town. They said, we have a ministerial alliance. It makes me want to gag. Why? Because they're not on the same page. Can I tell you the truth? They're in competition. Christian pastors in competition with other pastors. I said, what? That's like having your left guard won't work with your right guard. And you're trying to run a play and move the ball down the field, and your two guards won't even get in the huddle together. One's pushing one way and another guy's pushing the other way, and the guy carrying the ball is getting smeared in the backfield, and nobody can figure out why. Well, we don't block like that where we go. We don't believe in that. We don't believe in leading with the left foot. We that's not the way we do it. And we go to these huddles, and here are these, dare I say it, sheep without shepherds. Where are they? Wouldn't you think just out of curiosity they'd put on a mask, sneak in the back, and sit and listen to what the people are moaning and groaning about? Whining and moaning. Men's hearts are, their hearts are aching because something ain't right and they don't know what to do about it. So I said, okay, I'll show you what to do about it. Number one, I got several passages I'm going to throw up here this morning that I think are, I shared a little bit last night, but I think they're appropriate for me to share here this morning. Let me get over here. Go to the first one. It says, can't bark. Look. If the shoe fits, wear it. Because I know there are some pastors who sneakily are listening right now. I know that. And they're saying, why are you always bashing on pastors? Hey, dude, if you're doing what you're supposed to do, then it shouldn't matter what I say. I'm for you. I'm not against you. I'm going to tell you something. If you're in competition with the guy across the street, the guy down the road, if you're in competition with him, pastor, you're in sin, pal. You're in sin. And if you hide behind a thing and say, well, we can't do it because we don't agree with their theology down there. You don't have any problem agreeing with the theology at your kid's school, do you? Stuff your kids in the public schools. You don't have any problem telling the people in your church, don't go to the public schools. Do you agree with their theology? No. No, we don't. So Isaiah 56, I had a guy read that. Who read that last night? You remember? Who stood up and read that last night, Michelle? Jake. Jai before I wake thee, Jake. That's who it was, I think. Isaiah 56:10. I got it up on the screen for you. Hey, Joe. Silver.
Yes, sir.
It just sounds better when you read it, bud. It just sounds better. Okay? Now, hey, friend,
I'm ready.
Listen, friends, if you're a pastor, I wouldn't want to be you. I can't imagine doing that job. But as my wife would say, you knew what it was when you picked it up. And you pick up that mantle of leadership of however big your congregation is. And you're going to stand before Almighty God and you're going to give an account of your silence in this great moment of Christian, whatever, upheaval that's going on. You're going to give an account. And if you're in your pulpit and you're talking about financial prosperity and loving thy neighbor and all these meaningless, sugary, feel-good sermons, if you're still doing that, dude, you better get yourself out in the wilderness. And you better, because, man, I'm telling you, you're setting your people up. You are setting them up. So Isaiah 56:10, I love pastors. I love Dale Sosha. I love Tom Gill. I love Bill Dunphy. I could, that's three, four. Huh? Yeah, are you guys with me? Are you with me? And the old coach in me says, sometimes you need a little bit of kick in the arse, right? I need a kick in the arse.
All right.
See, well, coach, if I start talking about that, half of my church will leave. Well, then what the hell's keeping them there? If you're going to stand before your people and you're going to tell them the truth and they leave, is that on you? What? Come on, man. We're in desperate times in this country. Jamie Walden got up there last night. I'm 68 years old. He still makes me want to run through a wall because the words that he speaks are the truth. So here's where we are. Isaiah 56:10, the silver tones of silver. Go ahead and read those, Joe.
Okay, Coach. Isaiah 56:10-12. His watchmen are blind.
Wait a minute. Whose watchmen would that be, you think, Joe? Huh? Anybody want to comment there? Whose watchmen might that be? Who are they? Is it the pastors? Who? Go ahead, keep going, Joe. I'll shut up. I try really hard to shut up. Go ahead.
Okay. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand.
My Lord, help us.
They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter. Come ye, they say, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant.
My goodness. Was that ever written? Was that ever written for today? Was there ever a more appropriate scripture written for what we see in our churches today? Men closing down the churches, declaring themselves non-essential. Why? Are they blind? Are they ignorant? I'm just reading the scripture here. These watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. By the way, ignorant doesn't mean stupid. Those words don't mean the same things. At the root of the word ignorant is ignore. Ignore. You are ignorant if you ignore what you see. So they're dumb dogs. They're all ignoring what's going on around them. They're dumb dogs, not meaning stupid, meaning their mouth doesn't work. They are deaf and dumb, unable to speak, lying down, loving to slumber. I don't want to get into the greedy dogs, because I think some pastors are probably doing it, you know, they have good purpose and they're doing it. They're not doing it for greedy. The mega churches are. Mega churches are greedy dogs, I think. But I don't think the average guy down the street, pastoring 50, 60 people, he ain't greedy. He ain't getting rich doing that. But he is ignorant, afraid to bark. They all look to their own way, everyone for his own quarter. I'm not trying to wear this out. Do you get what I'm saying, folks? Why are pastors' alliances in small towns, which they have, which, of course, not everybody's part of, why aren't they working together? That was a question I just opened up to everybody. What is jail? Jeff Klein's in here. Go ahead, Jeff, and then Tim. Come on, Jeff. What's up? What's up, man?
Coach, I want to let you know, yesterday morning at the end of the service, Pastor Bill looked out across the crowd and he said, "Men, you see the guys of the Gospel Knights, meet me up front." So we met up there, and he's chatting about such a time as this and what's going on here in the state of Ohio. He said, "Here's what we're going to do." And he laid it out a little bit, and he said, "Now, I'm going to reach out to Coach Dave with Pass the Soul, and I'm going to reach out to Mark Harrington, two men in this state, and we're going to come together, and we're going to game plan." And he's got a little thing wants to talk to you about. He said, "But I will be reaching out to him." He said, "Jeff," he said, "mention it to Coach." He said, "I'll be getting a hold of him." He wants to bring them in together in the state of Ohio and figure out a battle plan. So the first two names he said was Coach Dave and Mark Harrington.
Well, amen, Jeff. And you know, that's what I've given my life to try to do. But again, we can't get, they won't work together. I'll work together. Mark Harrington will work together. Every church has access to, I said last night at the meeting, If we got 1,000 people, you guys any idea what we could do with 1,000 men? Not peacefully. 1,000 men. What we could do? There are 1,000 men on every street corner in every church. It's 250 in 4 different churches. That's 1,000 men. And no leadership. Come on, Naomi or Tim, whichever one it is.
So it's Naomi. So a couple of years ago, Tim and I went to an organization with called Christian Business Owners Fellowship, and they had a one-day event, and I was a speaker, and we had my stinky hamburger display up there, and Tim got to talking to a lady, and come to find out, she called herself a pastor, and she was the one that did the opening prayer for the event and stuff like that. She couldn't even answer some of the most simple questions Tim asked about common things that that even non-Christians know about. And it's just because she had gotten that certification or whatever over the internet, and we found out that a lot of times it's just a way for a group of families that are blood related to have a 501c3 covering over them. And so they're not even pastors anyway.
I believe that, and I believe there are some out there. But listen, I'm going to tell you right now, I saw a pastor. Are you guys sitting down? Can anybody explain to me why any pastor in the world would be telling people to take a vaccination? Can anybody, I got my ear. Can anybody tell me any good reason that any pastor in America would not understand the dangers of vaccinations? Can somebody help me here? Anybody?
Hey, coach.
Do it.
Cha-ching. Yeah.
Cha-ching.
Money.
Oh. You know what? To a point. Here's what I'm watching. Hey, folks, listen to me. If you are a pastor and you don't understand the dangers of vaccinations, dude, you are blind. Israel's watchmen are blind. How can you not know that? How can you lead a congregation of people and not understand the weapons of the devil? How can that possibly be? Other than you're so heavenly conscious, you know earthly good. And there are people in your congregation that you're telling to get vaccinated, and it's the vaccination from hell. And they don't even know it.
Coach.
Yes.
I don't call them 501c3. I call them lied to one can see.
Well, I don't care if you're five. I don't care if you're 501c3 or not. Your eyes don't work. What?
Oh, I get it. But that's the whole thing. They've been lied to, and they are not hearing truth, brother. Truth has fallen not only in the streets. Truth has fallen in the church, it's brother.
Fell there first, Dale.
Yeah.
Fell there first. Come on in, Chad Estes, followed by Larry. Go ahead, Chad.
Okay, I was just going to say that the thought that came to my mind was, in order to be a good leader, you have to first be a good follower.
Mm-hmm.
And as many of those that are now in the leadership, see, just because you're in a leadership position doesn't make you a leader. If you're a head of the church, doesn't make you a leader.
That's true. You're a manager. Most of them are managers.
So, that's right. And so it's like quarterbacks on the field. Is he a good game manager or is he a field general? You know, so if you don't have the right guy in there, then the church is not going to be led. It's going to go through the motions.
So here'd be the good thing. Listen, I love pastors, okay? But I would love, what if we passed a law that said that for the next month, every pastor was going to be followed by a overseer who is going to mark down all the time he spent during the day? What did the pastor do in his 8 working hours? That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? Because they're saying, well, we're visiting the sick, and we're, no, you're not. No, you're not. And by the way, dude, they're killing people with vaccinations, and you're going into hospitals and holding the hands of people. How about finding somebody in your congregation who can go hold the hands and pray for people? How about all those women who love to pray? How about turning them loose and letting them be the prayer force and let them go be the doing the visitations when you become the man that you're supposed to be, the watchman that you're supposed to be? So when you stand in your pulpit on Sunday, you can warn the people of what's coming. I don't have the answer to it. Michelle and I, people said, oh, Coach, you need to start a church. I said, what? I'm the Dr. Kevorkian of churches. Well, I can't do that because I'm going to listen to the nonsense. And we have trained up and raised up infants, grown Christian infants, still depending on daddy to feed them. And it's unbelievable. Hey, listen, do me a favor all at once. Somebody say amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Our prophets prophesy lies, and the people love it that way. I'm not nearly done. I want to get some of you in here. Come on in, Larry, then Silver.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, you're talking about vaccinations a while ago. I was watching, first time in months, my source that I used at the beginning of the pandemic to get information out of Great Britain, Dr. Campbell. And the over in Great Britain, they don't use the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccinations like we are here in the States. They're using the AstraZeneca chemical company or pharmaceuticals vaccination. And AstraZeneca has already stated that because of the UK and the South African variants on the virus, that they are already working on, and it is going to be very likely that this COVID vaccination is going to be a companion to the normal flu vaccination, and it will be an annual thing. So they're planning on pumping us full of their vaccination for whatever their purpose is from now on.
Larry, how come you know that and your pastor doesn't? Or do they know it and they're not telling us?
I don't think people here in the United States know it, because they're concentrated on U.S. news and U.S. news.
Well, you know it. You know it. If they're watchmen, aren't they supposed to be watching all this stuff for you? You know it. I know it. Other than Carla Dean Graves, Dr. Carla Dean Graves, who, in my opinion, really is a pastor, and she's bringing, do you know that she had over 200,000 people on her conference call? 200,000 people. Now, how can she be spreading this information to people in the past, the shepherds, still be ignorant? How can that possibly be? And the question we have to ask ourselves is, are they ignorant? Are they really ignorant? I don't think they are. Who's up? Who did I say was next? Let's go, Jeff now. Jeff, then Paul Webb, then Clay. Come on, then Rich Wallace. We'll get you all in here. I got somewhere else to go. Bear with me. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would say the pastors do not want to make any waves. Blessed are the peacemakers. Oh,
what we this have time, here, Jeff. This time... I can't believe you said that. I'm going to go there in a minute, Jeff.
Okay,
I'm going to go there in a minute. Believe it. I can't believe you just said that. I'm going to go there. Come on, Paul.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, you're lamenting about the churches and all that. You know, I really think what God is doing is kind of like the army. You know, like the general population of the soldiers, but then you have the specialists. You have the Green Berets, the SEAL teams, and all that. I think that's what God is doing. He's raising up SEAL teams, specialists. They'll come in and do something, and before you know it, things have changed. Why? Because a group of people dedicated and committed.
I'm with you, Paul.
So I think that's what's happening.
I do too. I'm with you, Paul. I believe that's happening, brother. I do. Come on in, Clay, followed by Rich, and then Randy.
Coach, we're in a battle, and the front line didn't show up for the battle. They didn't even know they were supposed to be in the battle.
They didn't know there was one.
No, and all these churches that I was talking about the other day, they should have known they were supposed to be in the battle, and they should have been on the front lines, and they should have defied all these orders. They should have stayed open, and instead of just being open a couple of days a week, they should have said, we're going to meet here every night. We're going to have somebody here, and anybody that wants to come, we're going to come, and you don't wear a mask. We're going to learn about the Lord, and we're going to learn God's word. And they should have been the defiance against all this, and they didn't show up.
Israel's watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. My, my, my. Who is it, Rich? Come on in, Rich.
Yeah, thanks, Coach. Yeah, I feel there's two things going on here. One is these pastors, it's a job. It's an occupation, and they weren't called into the ministry by the Lord. They don't have the Holy Spirit in them. And then two, I feel like 2 Thessalonians 9-11 is playing out where God said that those people that did not love the truth,
rejected,
wanted to believe a lie, he just went ahead and gave them a delusion.
It gave a strong delusion.
And for years, I used to think that he was talking about the lost people. You know, they didn't want to come to the Lord, so he just confused them. And then he hit me in the head a couple of weeks ago, and he said, no, that's everybody.
Amen.
You don't want to believe the truth? Oh, fine.
Yeah,
I'll send you down that weary road, and you just wander around lost, you know?
Yeah, you go ahead and you can believe Bruce Jenner's a woman. That's how much of a delusion you'll get, right? And you'll let them teach it to your kids in school.
That's right.
That's right. That's right. Come on in, Randy.
Coach, I don't think it matters if we figure it out. I don't think that's the point. I believe that we have the message right now of repentance, whether it be ignorance, whether it be lack of masculinity, whether it be money, whatever it is, it doesn't matter, Coach. We need to speak the word and just point our finger and say, if you don't change and repent, you're going to be devastated. The people... That's the message, Coach. The prophets had the message for Israel for 5,000 years. They told them, if you don't turn, you're going to be devastated. Well, they didn't turn, but when the time came for judgment, there was some that the remnant pulled out. They followed God, and the others were judged. So the point is, Coach, is for us to keep speaking this message and to live the true church. And then that is the witness to when it happens. Everyone knows. See, that's why you should have done that.
Amen, Randy.
You know what? I just looked at the clock. You know, it's a quarter till already. I haven't even taken the bow off this thing yet. I haven't even taken the bow off of it yet. And I get Silver wants to jump in here, and Joe Allen would jump in here. And come on in, Silver.
Coach, I was going to say that, you know, we look at the state of our nation, the state of the people, when is the Lord returning, you know, at what point is someone determined to be lost? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're supposed to witness them one-on-one, and if they don't take it, it's on them.
Kick the dust off your feet, Jesus said. Didn't they, Paul? Didn't he say that?
We have to realize that the times we're in are much closer than we think, I believe.
Man, oh, man, oh, man. Kick the dust off of your feet and move on. Let me get Joe Allen in here real quick, and then I'm going to shift gears. No, I'm not shifting gears. I'm going to pull a little piece of the bow off. Come on in, Joe.
Yeah, I just want to pull off of what Randy says, especially down here in the South. It's time to turn before you get burned.
We don't even talk. Hey, Joe. They don't think they're going to get burned. They think they're going to be taken out of here. They're so selfish. Yeah, listen to me. They don't care if their neighbor burns. They don't care. They're going to be out of here. I'm going to tell you this. You believe what you want to believe. I don't know if there's a more selfish doctrine than the pre-tribulation rapture. The idea that you're going to sit on your butt and keep your mouth shut, and then you're going to be taken out of here, and all those people around you are going to burn. And you think that's righteous?
Amen, Coach.
That's my take on it. That's my Amen. Take. Okay. Let me switch here because it's all ties together. God, I need 2 hours today.
Amen.
I need 2 hours today. Because Jeffrey Nell said something, and then I'm going to show you something else. Go to Peacemaker. Go to Peacemaker, Spencer. It's in the Beatitudes. My wife said to me, I shared this last night, and I know I've shared it many, many times, but my wife said, I'd never heard that before. And it came about because of the conversation I was having with a young lady we met the other night here at Denny's house. And she mentioned twice, she said, well, you know, I just kind of kept my mouth shut because the Bible says that we're supposed to be keep peacekeepers. And then she said it again the next morning. She said it again. Well, you know, I probably should have done something, but you know, I just want to be a peacekeeper. And so I couldn't hold my tongue anymore. I said, can we check it out there real quick? Can we go to Matthew 5 real quickly? So scroll on down there to Beatitudes. Stop right there. I'm verse 9. I'm reading it right now. No, Joe's going to read it because his voice reverberates better than mine. Joe's voice is like the Lord speaking it, you know? So, hey, Joe, in honor of Charlton Heston, act like you're the voice of God speaking out of heaven for us here, will you, brother? Just read verse 9.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God.
Oh, okay. You want to be called a child of God? You want to be called a child of God? Then you got to be a peacemaker, not a peacekeeper. See, Bible says we cry peace, peace, when there is no peace. And Christianity has convinced us that our job is to always keep the peace. Peaceful, right? Peace, peace. Hey, friends, I use this illustration. I'll use it again. I've used it before. When I was growing up, we had four boys and a girl in my family, and the four boys fought like unbelievable. But Mom always liked the sunny days because she would just open up the door, and we'd go out, and we'd terrorize the neighborhood. We'd be around there fighting with each other, grabbing frogs and gigging frogs, and we were out just raising hell out like little kids did. And then the rainy day would come and we'd all be trapped inside. We get trapped inside, and what would we do? We'd fight. We'd fight each other. And my mom spent all day running around our house breaking up fights, trying to keep the peace, right? Mom was a peacekeeper. And finally, when she would get to the end of her rope, what would she say? Those dreaded words that we still all cringe today when we hear them. You wait till your father gets home. Because my dad was the peacemaker. Did you guys hear that? Blessed are the peacemakers, not the peacekeepers. Blessed are those who use the authority of God to bring righteousness and justice, not those who keep peace as evil flourishes. Somebody say amen if you're picking up what I'm saying. And see, we've taken that word peacemaker, and we've turned it into we're just the sweetest old people you ever wanted to. We Christians, we just go along to get along. We're tolerant and diverse and accepting, and we love everybody. That's not what the word teaches us. How does peace come? Peace comes when government is no longer full of injustice. Peace comes when there is equal justice. Now, who's going to bring that equal justice? The unrighteous? The unrighteous are going to bring equal justice? Is that what they're going to do? How's that been working for us? No. You want to know how they're, you know where the peace is going to come from? It's going to come from those who speak with the authority of God. When the cops pull up in my house, it's not the cop that I'm afraid of. It's the authority behind the cop that I'm afraid of. And Christians are the authority to enforce God's law. And when Christians enforce God's law, peace comes. And the church has totally and completely shirked that responsibility. They want nothing to do with it. And we're crying peace, peace, when there is no peace. They are murdering babies. They are teaching children that homosexuality is normal. The church opens the door and invites it in. The church tells people to take a vaccination because the pastor doesn't want the controversy of somebody sitting in his pew who thinks they ought to take it. And the pastor's job is to show the person sitting in the pew where they're missing the mark. If the pastor isn't blind and if he's not afraid to bark, he'll stand up and say, no, here's what it is. This is what this vaccination's made of. And if you put it in your body, it's an abomination to Almighty God. You know what'll happen eventually? Peace going to show up. But we're crying peace, peace, where there is no peace. Say, Coach, that's good. I know it is. It's a total and complete misteaching of what the true gospel is all about. Okay, who wants to jump all over me on that? Well, let's see here.
All right, Coach.
Yep.
Peacemakers. United States and Russia against Germany. In World War II, United States against Japan in World War II. We made the peace.
Made it, Joe.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
It cost a lot.
It did.
Okay. We have not been in that situation since.
Mm-hmm.
But it's coming.
Well, one could argue.
And I'm afraid we will
fail. One could argue North and South Korea. We've been trying to be the peacekeeper.
It doesn't work, does it?
And it does not work.
And so listen, Christians, see, the worst thing we can do, I'm sorry. The worst thing we can do is go along to get along. If it violates the laws of God and we go along to get along, we are disloyal. We have committed treason against the God that we claim to serve. And not only have we committed treason against him, we have invited in disorder. It's our fault, friends. It's our fault. Lindsey Graham ain't going to bring peace to America. Lindsey Graham ain't going to do it. Mitch McConnell? What? No, it's the church. Hey, the peacemakers, can somebody help me out here real quick? What does it say in Matthew 5? The peacemakers we're going to be known as. Anybody know? I'm listening.
Children of God.
Wow. Instead, we think the peacekeepers are. Go along to get along, tolerant, diverse. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Oh, it all feels good. Sounds good. I'll wear a mask. I don't want anybody to get mad at me. I just want to keep the peace. I just got to wear a mask. Right? Right?
Hey, Coach. Coach, I know I'm out of order here, but man, she just had the mic drop of the day. Peacemakers will be called the children of God. And in math, if A equals B, then B equals A. So children of God equals peacemakers.
Unbelievable, man. Well, you won't hear this in many churches, will you? Come on in, Dale.
Well, let's go with the opposite. What's the opposite of a peacemaker? A peacekeeper. So if I'm the opposite of a son of God, I become a son of the devil.
Oh boy. Uh-huh. Hey, Dale, no wonder they're blind. No wonder they can't bark, huh? Huh? My sheep hear my voice. Well, no wonder they can't hear his voice. Yeah.
Only righteousness can produce peace, Coach.
Yeah, Randy, come on, man.
Unrighteousness cannot. It's not in that wheelhouse. Coach, I want everybody to just listen to this. Hear this. And I believe most of us are peacemakers. But, Coach, this is a great revelation. If we get this, we get truth. And we have to move in this and live in this and walk in this, Coach. This is a great teaching.
This is taught in every church, Coach. Randy, if a Christian doesn't have the confidence to go to a school board meeting and speak up, They are shirking their responsibility as members of the kingdom of God to bring peace. They can't be, hey, folks, can two walk together lest they agree? The scripture says that. Can I put my kid into a public school where I teach my child that homosexuality is sin and the government teaches homosexuality is to be honored? How do we walk together on that? How do we do that? It's nothing but confusion and chaos. At what point do we say, no, here's the standard, and this is the one that we have. See, right now, what's the standard that the school's embraced? Has the school embraced the standard of the church or the standard of the world? Now, hang on, because the churches won't even embrace the standards of God. The churches, in their desire to be loving, have dropped the standard. Anything, well, I remember the day when you weren't allowed to get divorced. I remember the day when you weren't allowed to use birth control. That, by the way, that was before abortion. We moved from no birth control to slaughtering our babies, and there ain't no peace. There ain't no peace in the womb. If there ain't no peace in the womb, there ain't going to be any peace in the world. Why? Israel's watchmen are blind. They're dumb dogs. They're afraid to bark. They think tolerance is godly. Somebody say amen. That's the line of the day. They think tolerance is godly.
Amen.
It isn't. Folks.
Amen, folks.
It isn't. How much time? Oh, my God. Just getting gone. Just getting gone. Brett, come on in. I'll hire Brett and Jack. Oh, I've got a headache. I opened a can of worms. I'm just right now on the top layer. Go ahead, Brett. Maybe Brett doesn't know how to get out. Brett's got to unmute yourself, dude.
Hey, there you go, Coach. There you I stand in total agreement. Peacemakers unite.
Hey, Brett, you're an old football guy, right? You know why the football team, peace on the football team? Because the coach made peace. These are the rules. And we don't care who you are or what color you are. You're following these rules, boys, or you ain't on the team. And there was peace on that team.
Yes? There was structure. There was order from the coach. And there was proper practice. Proper practice daily.
Mm-hmm.
Peacemakers have to take action daily.
Who's our coach, Brett?
God, Jesus. Huh? Jesus.
Yeah.
The teachings of Jesus.
Yeah, and the pastors are the captains of the team. And when the captains are not enforcing the directives of the head coach, you have mutiny, brothers.
We need to rip that C off their jersey.
Take that captain label off of their jersey, brother. Hey, I've done that before.
That's right.
I've done that before, Brett. I have. Who hasn't been a Jack? Come on in, Jack. Golly, I'm about out of time. Oh, we need overtime today. Go ahead.
The pastors, 100 plus years ago, the pastors carried the truth in their left hand because their right hand was on the peacemaker, the Colt 45. Also, Griswold, 1962 is where the contraception Supreme Court criminals came in.
Hey, are there any old Catholics out there? Any old Catholics out there that remember when birth control was against church teaching? Is it still any Catholics? Can somebody tell me, does the Catholic Church still teach that birth control is a sin? Do they? I'm asking. Does anybody know? Do they?
No, they don't.
They don't teach that anymore?
Not that I'm aware of. I've been to many churches, and none of them ever talked about it.
So they got their mind right, huh? They're like Luke. What we have here is failure to communicate. Shaking the bush over here, boss. Getting your mind right. Yeah, I'm out banned on Facebook. Getting my mind right. And so the people wanted to screw like little rabbits and didn't want to have children. And eventually the church said, okay. All right. Then we started killing babies.
I remember.
Didn't bring peace, did it? It didn't bring peace, did it, folks? It didn't bring peace. It brought chaos.
Hey, Coach,
this is the best.
The other thing is, without the theory of evolution, none of this could have happened. Without the church accepting some parts of the theory of evolution, none of this could have happened.
Amen. Amen. Let me get Jim in here. Jim, you're the last one. Go, brother. You're the last voice today.
Just a little correction. There are some sects of Catholics that do teach birth control is evil, procreate to the glory of God.
Amen. But there was a day, you would agree with me, Jim, there was a day when all Catholics believed that.
Right.
All of them did, right? No more. I'm not here to bash on Catholic Church. Look at this mess that we call evangelifishism. Israel's watchmen are blind. They are all dumb dogs. Loving the slumber. They are dogs that cannot bark. Those are right out of the Bible, boys and girls. No wonder we're in such a mess. We'll see you tomorrow.